First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 17th, 2011, Palm Sunday. Guest speaker, Dr. Tom Hoyle. An Indiana Jones look at the armor of God.
Good morning. Thank you for your patience. Once again, a pleasure to be with you folks here today. For those who may not have been with us during the Sunday School Hour, my name is Tom Hoyle with Bible and Science Ministries. And for the last 26 years, our full-time ministry has dealt with the accuracy of God's Word, especially in terms of science and archaeology and history and that kind of thing. As you know, the more we dig, the better God's Word looks. We don't need to prove the Bible, right? But since the Bible is always true, we would expect to find evidence. And there's lots of such evidence. Basically, during the week, I speak in public schools, Christian schools, homeschool groups, Awanas, youth rallies, that kind of thing. And of course, on Sundays, we get to be in God's houses like yours. And I can't tell you how grateful we are for your friendship and for your interest and for your support that keeps us going the rest of the week. Well, as you may know, during Sunday school, we got to take an Indiana Jones look at the New Testament and how, once again, true science, in this case, archaeology, it concurs with the scriptures. Well, if you will, today's message during the worship service, it evolved out of that Sunday school lesson. Today, as you know, we're talking about the armor of God. And as you can see, I'm dressed a little bit differently here today. For 29 years, I've had the privilege of serving in the Air Force Reserve, which has opened many doors of opportunity for ministry on various military bases. And also, well, I've done presentations and messages in swamps and other very, very strange places. In fact, a while back, we were speaking about the armor of God at the Bangor Naval Subbase on the Kitsap Peninsula. Well, nobody told me they have a very strict rule against weapons on that base. So I show up with a trunk full of swords and daggers and knives and that kind of thing, and they weren't totally happy with me. But at any rate, we're very pleased today to get to share with you, once again, the armor of God. And we're very glad for this armor, aren't we? Because we are in, folks, a spiritual war. But you know, if you're a born-again Christian, regardless of your age or your gender or your health or your military background, we're all in the army now, right? God's spiritual army. And of course, as you may know, in the military, you've got to have gear, especially if you're going into combat. God has given us that kind of spiritual gear, if you will. And the Apostle Paul describes this gear in Ephesians chapter 6. Indeed, we thought that this would be an appropriate time to talk about New Testament archaeology and the armor of God, because after all, next Sunday it is Easter, isn't it? Absolutely. Before we move on, though, and I'll tell you what, if you would turn with us to our text for this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, and while you're doing that, we've had many questions and comments about the books and discs in the entry area, so that people don't get the wrong books for the wrong reasons and become disappointed. And that would be very, very easy to do. Let me say a quick word about some titles that are appropriate for today. I noticed that you have a Ray Comfort disc and a book out there. Ray Comfort has come out just recently with probably the best book on Christian apologetics I have seen in years. And we're making this available at a special discount, The Defender's Guide for Life's Toughest Questions. We highly recommend it. My favorite book on this subject for teenagers, it's Josh McDowell's Don't Check Your Brains at the Door. It's written specifically for young people, sharing with them the archaeological, historical, and scientific accuracy of the scriptures. Again, we are in a spiritual battle, aren't we? Spiritual Warfare for Every Christian, I think, is the best book on the subject. It is non-sensational and very, very scriptural. My favorite book regarding the accuracy of God's Word, which we discussed, of course, during Sunday school, it's the Politically Incorrect Guide to the Bible. It's a pig book, Politically Incorrect Guide. There are 20 pig books in print. And then this one, of course, deals with the documented evidence that keeps reminding us the Bible is right on. We can trust in it. We should obey it, shouldn't we? My favorite book for the entire family, great for family devotions, The Children's Illustrated Bible. I think the book is very misleading in terms of its title. It's got lots of pictures for the kids, but a great text to read each day at the family table. And of course, in the margins are dozens and dozens of archaeological, geographical, and cultural facts that the adults are going to enjoy. A terrific book. It's number 2 in the 3-part answer series, the most popular Bible and science series in the country. Part 2 of the answers books deals with all kinds of popular questions people ask regarding God's Word, regarding the Christian faith. One last item, if you don't want to read a book, the best deal I've ever seen on DVDs regarding God's Word, it's the Lee Strobel Collection. You get all 3 of Lee Strobel's $20 CDs for $24.95. That's our DVDs. It's a whale of a deal, and we're very pleased to make it available. Well, so much for all that. Once again, we appreciate being with you folks here today. And you probably have already reached our main text for today. I think I've got the King James Version here, just because I like the way it reads. Reading about God's spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, as you can see in front, we have got replicas of all 6 items to which the Apostle Paul refers. He uses these 6 items of Roman gear to illustrate 6 important points, 6 important spiritual bits of gear, if you will, that we need in God's spiritual arming. You may be asking me where I got all this. Due to budget cuts, the Air Force is now equipping its personnel with this gear instead. Some of you got that. At any rate, we start with the belt of truth. The belt of truth. We have here a pretty good replica of a standard Roman legionary's belt. We know this to be true because the Romans may have been barbaric and brutal, but they were very vain. They built lots of statues of themselves wearing their gear. Well, here we have a standard Roman legionary's belt. And belts, of course, as you know, come in handy for several very good reasons. The biggest one, the most obvious one, it's support, isn't it? All right, if I can be blunt, it helps keep your pants up, right? There's nothing worse than being in battle and have your pants fall down. All right? Then you're going to die of embarrassment. All right? Well, in the Roman army, they did wear belts for support. In the northern climates, they wore baggy leggings to stay warm. The belts came in handy for that. Well, folks, in God's spiritual army, we wear a spiritual belt of truth because it supports our faith. The truth is everything, isn't it? I'm not a Trekkie, but I remember Ensign Crusher was told by Captain Picard on Star Trek his first duty was to the truth. And may we always remember in these days when the truth is taking some big hits, our duty it is to the truth. Everything is supported by it, isn't it? But in addition, belts can be used for identification purposes. We don't know how the system worked. But according to Cornelius Tacitus, we met him during Sunday school, the straps hanging down with the studs and buckles identified which Roman legion and which Roman cohort that a legionary was from. And in today's military, we wear identification patches, we don't wear belts, but in God's spiritual army, our spiritual belt of truth, it identifies us as one of God's own, right? You know, folks, people may or may not like us at school, at work, next door, whatever the case might be. But hopefully they can respect us. They have identified us as being one of those Christians because Christians are so honest. They have to tell the truth. And in a good way, folks, that's a special way of being different, isn't it? And hopefully, our truthful testimony identifies us, thus being a member of God's spiritual army. But in the Roman army, belts like these were also used for protection. And I confess, Pastor, I don't think that's a whole lot of protection, but I guess it's better than nothing, okay? One of the purposes for the leather straps, it was to help reduce those sword blows a little bit. And in God's spiritual army, we find that our belt of truth can protect us. Case in point, I'm reminded of something that happened to me years ago when I was in graduate school. I worked for United Parcel Service, and no matter what you think about UPS, UPS is obsessed with truthfulness, with honesty, with integrity. Why? It's just good business, isn't it? People aren't going to trust you with packages if people think that you're dishonest, right? So UPS is really big on truthfulness. I know of a gentleman, he wanted to get a driver's job very badly, but he had a speeding ticket on his traffic record. And when he's filling out the application, it came to this block, and it said, list all of your moving citations. He wrote down none. He got hired. He got fired. And you know why, don't you? UPS, it turns out, would have hired him with just one traffic violation like that. They would have put him on probation, but they would have hired him. UPS, though, could not tolerate deceit. They fired him because he was dishonest about it. Well, that brings me to me. As you may know, UPS trucks not only drop off packages, they pick up packages from businesses, and they pick up money. They pick up checks and cash even. And as it turns out, one evening, I was auditing the various trucks that had come up to the dock, and the money bag in one of these vehicles turned up missing. This was a big deal. They sent down two investigators from Seattle, Scully and Mulder, and they interviewed everybody. They checked everywhere. And folks, I'm sitting in this office filling out some paperwork. The door's open. I can hear what's being said in the next office. It's the center manager's office. The center manager is informed that the last person seen in the truck in question with the missing bag, their prime suspect, that person was moi. I started to sweat profusely. I'm praying feverishly. Well, bless his heart. The center manager did not like me. We were from two different worlds. I mean, for example, somebody had decorated the men's room with pictures from Playboy magazine. I thought that was inappropriate, so I tore them all down. Turns out the center manager liked those pictures right where they were. He wasn't happy with me. Well, the center manager, bless his heart, started to laugh. He said, of all the people who might have stolen that money, Hoyle is the least likely to have done so. And I said, thank you, Lord. He's such a perceptive judge of good character. You might be wondering what happened to the money. I took it with me to Tahiti. Now, it turned up. The money bag had fallen behind a spare tire into a wheel well. But you get the point, and maybe you have a similar story to tell. Apparently, thankfully, fortunately, I had a reputation for being honest, for being truthful. And it saved me, didn't it? It protected me. And again, maybe you have a similar story to tell. Again, I'm not a big, big fan of the series, but there's a catchy slogan from the X-Files I've always liked. The truth is out there. They're right. The truth is out there, isn't it? It's God's truth. And as members of God's spiritual army, we need to wear his spiritual belt of truth wrapped around us, folks, right? Because the truth, it will set you free, won't it? Well, as Pastor knows, you can preach an entire sermon on each of these six pieces of gear, which means we need to keep moving here today, all right? Because some of you folks want to go home and eat, right? You're thinking, let my people go, all right? So we move on to our second piece of gear here, folks. The breastplate of righteousness. We've got a pretty good replica of a standard Roman officer's breastplate right here. This particular one was fashioned after my own torso. Why are they laughing? You don't think I've got six-pack abs? She finds this amusing. Anyway, folks, Roman officers, they wore breastplates usually, right? Okay? And usually some poor lower-ranking soldier or slave would spend hours polishing these things so they shone in the sun. Barbarians would look at these Roman officers like gods with a small g because they were so brilliantly attired. This reminds us that in God's spiritual army, we wear a breastplate of righteousness. And folks, we need to work on that testimony of righteousness, don't we? We need to make sure that we have righteous reputations, that we do things the right way. We go to the right places. We say the right things. Correct? Now, I don't mean a pharisaical righteousness, a hypocritical type righteousness. But once again, as in a case of truthfulness, people know they are members of God's spiritual army because of the way we live. We don't talk like the rest of the world does, do we? We don't always go to the same places like the rest of the world does, correct? We're good in a good way. We're different in a better way, correct? Well, back to that breastplate, though. You'll notice something. The Roman soldiers apparently are not interested in camouflage, are they? I mean, they're going out of their way to be as visible as possible. As you might already know, regarding today's military, we go out of our way not to be visible. We camouflage everything, all right? We go out of our way to perfect camouflage. Here among the young people, we have the very famous battle dress uniform known as Woodlands Pattern, okay? And then, of course, they went to DCUs, which is a desert combat uniform. This is a five-color pattern. And then they decided to go to the DCU three-color pattern. And then they decided to go digital, led by the Marines. They came out with the Digis. The Army decided that was a good idea, so the Army came out with their digital camouflage. The Air Force came out with theirs, as you can see, which is very similar to the Marines. And I've not found a bandana for the Navy's yet, but they've got a really strange camouflage uniform. But at any rate, we paint everything black, gray, brown, olive drab, and my personal favorite, tacky khaki, right? Can you imagine what would happen if some soldier marine in combat had a white handkerchief when it came time to blow his nose? He'd be pulling out this white handkerchief and some sniper would see it and blow his nose, wouldn't he? We even have camouflaged Bibles. Well, here's my theological question for you. Does God want the members of his spiritual army to be camouflaged, to be undercover? No! He doesn't want Navy SEALs, does he? He doesn't want Special Forces. He doesn't want Marine Force Recon. He doesn't want Air Force Special Tactics. He wants ambassadors, doesn't he? Who will stand up and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, wearing a breastplate of righteousness, a sincere righteousness, correct? Well, so much more could be said. One more item, though, about the breastplate. We can't miss this. I'm sure Pastor has mentioned this before in a message. The Apostle Paul does talk about a breastplate, but he says nothing about a backplate. Roman officers weren't stupid. They did wear backplates. If an officer had to turn his back to the enemy to maybe give an order, he did not want to get shot in the back, right? On rare occasions, Roman officers might have to retreat. A backplate, it came in handy, right? In God's spiritual army, guess what? No backplate, folks. Is it getting kind of drafty back there? Which means at least two things, right? Number one, retreat is not an option in God's spiritual army, because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, right? And secondly, we don't turn our backs on the devil, do we? We don't turn our backs on the enemy, do we? Because that's when he's going to strike. The Bible warns us that Satan is as a roaring lion, right? Walking about, seeking whom he might devour. The Bible warns us that we are to be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, he is out there, correct? And so it is God's spiritual army, we need to keep both eyes open. We don't need and we don't have any kind of a backplate. Well, again, for the sake of time, moving on, we turn to our next piece of gear, shoes. That's not very glamorous or dramatic, is it? But we all know how important shoes are, right? If you're wearing a pair of shoes or boots and you got to walk or march or run for miles, the only thing you're thinking about, it would be how much your feet hurt, right? That's right. A very, very mundane, common thing, but a very vital thing. In a Roman army, they did wear shoes. And based upon their statues, they apparently were something like these. They were sandals. They stood, they marched, they fought in these things all the time. In God's spiritual army, we wear shoes too. Shoes representing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on the gospel, don't we? The good news of salvation. One of the many reasons why I appreciate your pastor. I know he stands on the gospel, correct? And when he preaches, the gospel is in every sermon, right? And so it is in God's spiritual army. But now in the Roman army, they also wore shoes for protection. They would cover the soles with studs like these. They had helped for the shoes not only to last longer, but they would help protect the feet. How? Well, it turns out the barbarians in Gaul, they got a really, really, really rotten idea. They sprinkled the battlefield with gems like these, dipped in dung. So some poor Roman soldier would march on top of one of these things and get the point and get infected. So studs like these help to deflect those little items, correct? And of course, in God's spiritual army, it's the gospel of Christ that protects us on this earth right now and protects us from eternal damnation. It's the gospel of Christ that saves us, isn't it? And promises eternal life. Well, our next item, it's my favorite item, and you might find this rather unusual, but maybe you'll see why here in a minute. We turn to the shield of faith. We've got a pretty good replica of a standard Roman legionary shield, you see right there. It's big, isn't it? Biggest shield commonly carried by a soldier in history. 7.5 square feet of surface area. Weighed an average of 18 pounds. Now that may seem not so much. Picture holding that shield during 8 hours of combat. After a while, that shield is going to get heavy, folks. But it was vital. I've had kids say, well, Conan the Barbarian wouldn't hide behind a big shield like that. He wasn't a coward. Hey, Conan isn't dodging fiery darts, is he? Romans weren't stupid, folks. When they're besieging a city, they don't want to get nailed by archers' arrows, do they? That's why those shields came in handy, no matter how rough and tumble they might be. And so it is in God's spiritual army, folks. We need a shield of faith too, especially as Pastor was referring to in these end times, right? Or my wife right now has got some serious medical issues. If you happen to think of her, we would greatly appreciate your prayer for my wife, Penny. And folks, believe me, as some of you already know, when trouble comes, this is not the time to suddenly get spiritual. We need to be spiritual all the time, carrying a shield of faith, correct? We need to be ready at any time whatsoever. There's something else interesting about the Roman shield, and that's the fact that they were usually rectangular, and they usually had clips along the side. And they would clip their shields together, forming a formation. And that brings us to the secret, the biggest secret of Roman tactics. Tactics that conquered the world. Romans didn't fight as individuals, did they? Our army today, they have one of these slogans, be an army of one. That would be anathema to the Romans. They fought as a unit. That's anathema to the Marines today. They have that esprit de corps. They fight as a unit, don't they? And folks, in God's spiritual army, we fight as a unit too, don't we? We fight as a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church just like this one. We need to be bonded together. We need unity, don't we? We can't do it on our own, can we? I'm reminded of the words of Benjamin Franklin at the height of the Revolutionary War. He said, gentlemen, he told his fellow congressmen of a sort. He said, gentlemen, we must hang together or we will hang separately. And he's right. I have no idea what the politics of your church may or may not have been. I've been in 500 churches, and Satan is alive and well in some of our churches. He is fomenting disorder. There are churches fighting over the silliest things, courtesy of Satan's temptations, right? I know of a church that's split over the color of the carpet. This is ridiculous, folks. We don't need this, do we? We need to set aside our personal feelings and remember, we fight for the glory of our Commander-in-Chief, our Creator and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a cause more important than our feelings. And if somebody here has been wronged, and I've been wronged before, you've probably been wronged before, it's okay. We can get over it for now, because there will be a payday someday, right? Jesus will make things right. In the meantime, we need to serve together for Him, don't we? No matter what the case might be. Well, at this time, and as you were told, after an extensive star search, after much prayer, I'm sure, a supermodel has been selected for us here. Paige, would you come up here, please? Give her a big hand. Paige, you have been inducted into the Roman Imperial Army.
Yes, sir.
All right. And here's your shield of what we call shield of faith. Now, just out of curiosity, Paige, yeah. You want to pick that up from right there. Is that pretty heavy?
Yes, and it would be very heavy to carry for a long period of time.
I appreciate the cooperation. She's obviously very intelligent. Thank you, Paige. But we'll let you put that down in front of you, okay? All right. All right. Well, the next item is an item, of course, that the ladies can relate to more. Our next item, folks, it is the helmet of salvation. So, Paige, we're going to let you wear the latest and fashionable Roman headgear.
Okay, we're going to get your cameras out. This is a photo op.
It's a perfect fit.
There you go.
She's ready for anything, isn't she? All right. Now, by the way, you may wonder, why do we have a lady with us here? Remember, ladies, remember, girls, if you're a born-again Christian, you're in God's spiritual army, too. It's not just for the guys. And ladies are involved in spiritual combat as well, aren't they? It's not just for the guys at all. Well, in a Roman army, that helmet made of 16-gauge steel. It was vital to protect the head, a very, very valuable part of human anatomy. And God's spiritual army, we wear a helmet of salvation. This reminds us that salvation is not just of the heart, it's also of the head, isn't it? It's got to be both, right, Pastor? I know of people, including my dear mother, for example, their salvation is based upon their feelings. Well, what happens if you're having a bad day? All of a sudden, you don't feel too saved anymore, do you? Or during Sunday school, we're talking about our Mormon friends. And my Mormon bishop friend told me, he knows he's right because there's a burning in his bosom. I'm sorry, that's awfully subjective, folks. And not to be unkind, but after I eat too much pizza, I have a burning in my bosom. All right? That's not a good way to know that you're going to heaven, is it? We have to know and feel we're going to heaven. We have to know and feel that we have understood the gospel of Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ to be our personal Lord and Savior, right? Heart and head, both at the same time. Well, one last item. The helmet in a Roman army, it was strong, it was substantial, and God's spiritual army, our helmet of salvation, it should be strong, it should be substantial too. What I mean by that, many years ago, for about 5 years, I taught a college career Sunday school class. We had 35 very inquisitive college students and military personnel and college career type folks, ladies who are, you know, various professionals and what have you. At any rate, we had a series on different denominations and religions and cults and that kind of thing. As an experiment, 1 week, I called 50 churches of different faiths, 50 of them. And I asked the first person who picked up the phone, what must I do to be saved? Do you know virtually nobody could tell me how to go to heaven? The average response was, well, that's a theological question. You should make an appointment and talk to pastor, and maybe he can help you with that. Hello? This is only the most important thing on earth, folks. Your salvation. Whether or not you're going to heaven. That's all, folks. Everything else is extremely secondary, don't you think? If there's somebody here, with all due respect, if there's somebody here who cannot tell me how to go to heaven, I'm worried for two reasons. Number one, is it possible that maybe such a person doesn't know themselves and they are not going to heaven? Number two, the Bible says to be ready to give an answer. If somebody comes up to meet you and says, tell me how to go to heaven, what an opportunity. We need to be ready, don't we? To share the good news of the plan of salvation. If there's anybody here who does not know how to answer that question, what must I do to be saved? Please talk to somebody here. Talk to your pastor, right? It's absolutely vital, isn't it? Okay, but for the sake of time, our last item. I can hear your stomachs all grumbling in unison. We come to the most popular item with 10-year-old boys. We turn to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, Paige, before I give you this, I just want to make sure.
Can I find a disclaimer?
Well, no, I was going to ask you. I have not offended you in any way, have I?
No.
Okay, we're good?
Yeah.
We're good. All right, you're sure?
I'm positive.
Okay, all right. You can put that right there if you want. Okay. All right. Don't mess with Paige, folks. Roman Gladius, that sword conquered the world. Rome's enemies, when they first saw that sword, they laughed at it. They said, what a toothpick. Because so many of Rome's enemies, they were carrying around swords that looked like that. Well, folks, why would the Romans carry that wimpy sword and not this sword here? Several reasons. If you're fighting shoulder to shoulder with your fellow soldiers, this is not a good idea. You'll be taking off the ears and noses of your comrades, and they will not appreciate it. All right? In addition, folks, after 8 hours of combat, do you want to be swinging that sword or this sword? For every swing I can get in with my sword here, Paige is getting in three with hers. All right? Romans weren't stupid, were they? And this reminds us of the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit, isn't it? People underestimate it. People make fun of it. But folks, it's right on, isn't it? It gets the job done, doesn't it? It's like the gladius. It's short and to the point. It changes lives. It transforms people in a way that we just don't fully understand, correct? In the Roman army, they practiced with these swords constantly. They kept these swords sharp. They kept them polished. And in the same way, in God's spiritual army, we need to be well equipped with the Word of God, right? We need to know this book, correct? We need to study this book. We need to be ready to share the message of this book with others at a moment's notice, correct? Indeed, in Roman army, Roman soldiers were required to carry their sword absolutely everywhere. If they went to take a bath, they carried their towel, they carried their soap, and they carried their sword. Never leave home without it. Be ready always. And so it is, folks. We might not physically have God's word with us, but we should have it with us in terms of memorization of Scripture, shouldn't we? Which is one reason for Awana, isn't it? To teach our boys and girls the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Well, Paige, you have been terrific. At this time, we are going to discharge you from service in the Roman Imperial Army. Let's go ahead and take this heavy helmet off. Uh-oh, she has the dreaded helmet hair. Helmet hair, folks. And we're going to disarm her. And would you all please give Paige a big hand? Oh, that's fine. Thank you. Give her a big hand for doing such a good job. And yes, we'll be taking up a collection because she'll be in therapy for a couple years after this. As we close here this morning, we do hope and pray that everybody here is a member of God's spiritual army, that everybody here has accepted the Lord and Creator and Savior and Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. Most of us have done that, haven't we? If we haven't, please once again talk to one of us before you go home. For the rest of us who do know the Lord, are we wearing all six pieces of His spiritual gear during these end times? Are we keeping all six pieces in good repair? Are we well trained and ready with all six pieces? It's something for all of us to think about, isn't it? If there's any need along these same lines, we do hope and pray once again that you will talk to one of us. I am sure that we must have men who can handle the men and the boys. We've got ladies that can talk to the ladies and the girls. But if you would please stand, let me pray, and then I'll turn the services back over to Pastor for him to conclude as he sees fit. And yes, boys, you can look at this gear if you want, but please don't touch because some of it's rather sharp. Let's pray, shall we? Our God, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you that we don't need to prove it, but we thank you once again that the more we dig, the better it looks. We thank you that explains how we can wear your spiritual armor and be ready at all times during the spiritual battles that we're going to face during these end times. We pray if there's anybody here who's not become a member of your spiritual army yet by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that today they would do so. And for the rest of us, have us make you proud. Have us make you glad that you did make us, you do love us, you've got a great plan for us, and you've got this spiritual gear for us likewise. We thank you for all this. In, once again, the name of our Lord and Savior and Creator, Jesus Christ, amen.